Let's try to finish this Mizmor today. Okay, so what we did was we spent 2 days. We had 1 day Hakdama. We had 1 day, we went through, really 3 days. 1 day we went through the Mitzudais, and then we did round two. Round two, we started going through the Rashis and trying to sprinkle it with some ideas. So let's go through the Rashis. Let's go through the Rashis again. I'll just run through past the Gimel, B'Hamil Aretz. Yes.
This is the first time I went late to out of the school for lighting of the candles.
Oh.
And I just had different experiences.
Baruch Hashem. Wow. No one ever told me that.
I always looked at it as a waste of time.
No, it's a very big thing. It's a very big thing. The lighting of candles in shul is such a big inyan. It is such a big inyan. It's not in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. I don't think so. It's a Minog Yisrael. Maybe it is. It's a Minog Yisrael, but it's a very big inyan. The lighting of the Chanukah candles in shul. It's not not a simple matter. Like we learn a lot of these things. Is that a lot of the chumras. The main yisoid of lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses, it's an extension of the lighting in the Beis HaMikdash. Lighting the Chanukah candles at home is not. It's not. There's a mitzvah to be mefarsim the neis. And that's it. And of course, you know, so you can be mahader, you have Shem and Zayis, because the miracle happened with Shem and Zayis. But that's really it. In Beis HaKnesses, all of a sudden you have all of these chidushim. Where should the menorah be positioned? It should be mimizruch lemarav, mimizruch l'doraim, on the kosel doraim, because it's the ner should be closest to the Aron HaKodesh, the ner that's lit. Where should the one who lights stand? It should be high. And even if you use wax in the house, you should use Shemen Zayis and Shul, because it's an extension of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's incredible. Okay, even the Orachayim, I'm not sure who says it, the Orachayim quotes a medrash that says that the lighting of the menorah was never bottle. Even though the Korbanos came to an end with the Bechum Beis HaMikdash, there is still Bizman Hazeh and Inyan to light the narrowest of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mepharshim asks, what is the Medrash saying? It's a Medrash Pliya. What are you talking about? There's no Beis HaMikdash. The nearest of the Chanukah Menorah bottle. It's impossible. And he answers, I think the Aruch HaMe'ah says, no. Every single year, when the nearest are kindled in the Beis HaKnesses, this is Mamish. The Hadlokas nearest of the Beis HaMikdash. Lahalois Ner Tomit. We can't do it every single day of the year. But at least on Chanukah, you make a bracha. In the Beis HaKnesses, it's the light, when you're lighting the nearest in the Beis HaKnesses, you're mamish lighting the nearest, the or of the Beis HaMikdash. Every Mikdash Ma'at. It's Mikdash Ma'at. And it's better than the Korbanos. When we dive into Unashalma Fodim Sefoseinu, it's Hashlama. Unashalma. No, we can't bring a Korban, so instead we dive in. But when you light the nearest, you're connecting mamash. It's the actual hadlokas neiros of the Beis HaMikdash. It's an incredible thing. It's a whole new dimension. In addition to the fact that this is your fulfillment of mibachutz, because today there's no such thing as lighting neiros mibachutz. Like we said, who are you lighting for? Who are you lighting for? The mailman? The Chinese mailman appreciates the neiros. They used to see a lot of Jewish mailmen. A lot of people used to work for the post office. Today you almost never hear it. You don't come out.
The biggest section is like four square posts. All right, is the Brooklyn Jewish Post employee or something?
And today, you ever hear of a firm person, person working in the post office? Kimat, yeah, yeah. Your neighbor works at the post office. Call Akavod. It's a great job.
The wife's cousin was the postmaster of Long Beach.
I'm sure it's a great job. It's a great job. You get benefits. You get some exercise. It's a wonderful job. Maybe I should go into it. All right. Thank you, Mark, for your very kind words. You've cheered me up. Thank you, Mark. Where are you? Where are you going?
I think the honor is I give you cheer.
All right, now let's go back the page. Okay, we already did some of the Rashis. Let's just review, because we're in the middle. Let's review it again. Let's just go back, and we'll start with the Rashis again on page 414. Okay, there's some very powerful Rashis here in this Mizmar. 414, we'll start again. Al Alamois, what's Alamois? Shem Shel Klishir B'divrei Hayamim. The first thing we discuss is that the word Alamois, there are many interpretations. Rashi learns that it's the name of a musical instrument. Next, it says in the Pasuk, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be afraid when the earth is going to be transformed. Behamir. We spent a lot of time on the word Behamir. What does Rashi say? La'asalavo. This mizma refers to Yemos HaMashiach. B'yoyim Shenema Havaretz Kabeget Tivle. The earth will wither, will decay like a garment. Ru'u B'nei Karach Nesh Nasalachem Shenivlu Kol Svivosam V'heim Omdu Bo'avir. We learned this last week, is that the B'nei Karach, they... a miracle happened to them, that the earth beneath them completely disappeared, and they were miraculously held. They were suspended in mid-air. Sounds like a science fiction movie. Okay, completely suspended mid-air. V'hem amdu bo'avir v'yamru liyishol b'richa kodesh. In that moment in time, they were inspired with b'richa kodesh, and they said that la'os lavo mashiach will come. Exactly the same thing will happen. The earth beneath you will completely decay, disappear, cease to exist, and you will be suspended in mid-air. Okay, this is very, very, very hard to appreciate what this means. V'yamru li Yisrael b'ruach ha-kodesh shedugmas ha-nesh ha-zesh yei osu l'chem le-osid. Pasuk Dalet. Yachmeru meimav. The waters at this time of Mashiach, Melchemes Gog u'Magog, the waters are going to be muddled. Are going to be... Yechmeru is like chaymer, pitch. Chaymer is like mud. And the waters are going to be muddied. Why? Because there's going to be so much motion, it's going to bring up the sediment from the earth, from the bottom of the sea. Yigarshu refesh votit v'chaymer kemishpatam. That because of the motion, all of the sediment, all different types of particles on the bottom of the ocean bed are going to come up and dirty the water. Umenachim chibroi kmo neai chomar maru, churn. We have in this week's parasha by Yosef. What? Shriveled? Shriveled. Okay, shriveled. And this, the end of this week's parasha in Rashi. Rashi talks about, I forgot exactly, it's in the parasha. Yosef, when he saw Binyamin, I don't remember exactly, but it's definitely in this week's parash in the Rashi's. I think he dwells actually upon this exact word, what this word means, and Itaka says it means to shrivel. It means to shrivel. Very good. May I my insides chomar maru, which is a whole different interpretation. It means that not that it's going to land lush of mud of chemor. Rather, it means to shrivel. The earth is going to get smaller. Is that what it means? Maybe. Okay, Yirashu Harim Bigavasa, the mountains will roar Bigavasa. Who's the Gavasa? This is very important. Rashi learns the subject of the word Gavasa, the Gaiva, doesn't mean in a bad sense, it means Hashem. Bigavasa means Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, we want to welcome Rabbi Shol Zev Lobel. Adonenu, his name, Adonenu Rabbeinu Yud. What? Okay. Gavosoi, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aniska B'Rosh HaMizmor. What? What I skip? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. What am I thinking? Okay, yes, Rabbi Chol, please. By all means.
Regress li wrong, which you feel the word regress, so which means shrivel.
Okay, old French word, shrivel. Yirashu Harim B'Gavosoi, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Haniskar. The subject of the word Ga'ava is Hashem. Ga'ava does not always mean something bad. Usually we hear the word Gaiva, okay, well, that was probably Rav Steinman, Zechet Salik Levrach, his yard site was yesterday. Rav Steinman's yard site was yesterday. Rav Steinman was Malach Elokim Tzavakos. I mean, not to be believed what kind of life he lived. And when people came to visit him, The main message that he taught people, he wasn't quiet. He had a lot to say to people, and he told them straight out, you're a Baal Gaiva. Gaiva, 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 Gaiva. That was his big thing. His big thing was the source of all problems. He saw was Gaiva. I even know someone personally who went to him for a bracha, And it wasn't easy to get into him at that time already. It was the Sofi Yamov. And the person, this Gabbai, told him, this person, he gave him lavish praise. This person has a yeshiva and does this and does this. And Rav Steinman looked at him and says, really, really, you have this and this. Like really, this long introduction of who, they're telling me who you are. You're such a Balgaiva. Unbelievable, right? He walked out, he humbled people. Listen, he lived to over 100 years. He knew what he was doing. But gaiva usually is usually a term which means something negative. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not negative. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grandeur, his might, his exaltedness. The word gaiva is not necessarily a bad word. Unfortunately, we've abused it and we use it.
Right.
Say it again?
The
gaiva so shrokin. So here in this mizmor, when it says we're gaava, we're using a reference to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hanizka Beroish Hashem's greatness, Shalach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hanizka Beroish Hashem's greatness, Shalach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hanizka Beroish Hamizmor. Okay, Nohar Pilagav, the river. Okay, Rabbi Michal, what does this mean? The Nohar Pilagav. What's this word over here? The river and its branches. What does this mean? This word.
Rivulets,
yeah. The little rivers, the little rivers, the river. Naharei Rashi Kidarkoi, Rashi Kidarkoi always likes the more mystical type of approach. The Naharei Gan Eden. We're describing over here Yimos HaMashiach, the Nahor Pilagav. We're not referring over here to a river of water. When we learned the Mefarshim, the Mitzvah Stavid, and other Mefarshim maybe, we discuss what it says in Sefer Yecheskel, that Yimos HaMashiach, there will be a trickle of water that will come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It will turn and will spread to the entire Eretz Yisrael, and will get larger and larger to the point where even a massive ship will not be able to cross this massive body of water. And then the pasuk says that this water will be the source of healing, of refuah to the entire world. That's a famous nevuah in Sefer Yecheskel. That is how the Mitzvah, the Stavid, other Mefarshim understand what it says here. The word, the Nahar, the river that comes forth from the Kodesh HaKodashim, Pilagav, as it begins to spread and branch out to the world to heal the world. Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi learns a type of river not in this world, in Gan Eden. Something much, much more esoteric. Unahar Yotze Me'eden. So you want to say that it means
yeah, everything has
okay. Pasig Vav Lifnois Boikar. He's speaking to... Good question. Very tough question. You touched this week, Parshas Miketz, Chumash Rashi. Here, Rabbi Yisrael, Chumash Rashi. I believe there is no parsha in the entire Torah like Parshas Miketz, where Rashi, literally every other Rashi, if not every Rashi, presents an old French word. It's a field day for the old French in Parshas Miketz. Go through the entire Torah. Every Parsha Rashi brings down Bilaz. But Miketz, Parshas Miketz, it's Miketz. Miketz, it is off the charts. In Parshas Miketz, it is off the charts. Rashi, there's something there. Why? As I thought, I was learning the Rashi, I thought the reason because being that Parshas Miketz falls out during Hanukkah, or Hanukkah falls out against the back of Parshas Miketz, one of the Milois, Yavon is a very complex entity, but Yaft Elokim Liyefes, the Yishkoin Ba'ohole Shem. That the beauty of Yefes, although Yefes, their ideology, the Apikorsis, the damage they've done for Klal Yisrael is enormous. Kisvu lechem al keren ashar she'elam chelik b'lokei Yisrael. Their whole goal was to wipe out the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Yet Yefes got a bracha that Yafta lechem li Yefes v'yishkoin be'ohol eshein. Many of his milos were incorporated into Klal Yisrael. When the look Chanukah, when you anoint a Kohen Gadol, how do you anoint him? Like a chof, like a key Yevonis. The whole miracle of Chanukah is about Shemen. According to some of the Mefarshim, we'll learn to it later, the second part, is that they v'leimatzu elapach echad shel Shemen. They only found only one container of oil, which was only enough to light for one day, or not even enough to light for one day. According to the Medrash, the pach Shemen they found was not for menachos, not for the menorah, it was the Shemen HaMishcha. According to one of the multiple midrashim, they found the pach of Shemen HaMishcha. Now Shemen HaMishcha, how did you apply the Shemen HaMishcha? So the Gemara says explicitly, you apply it to the Kohen Gadol, or to the Melech, to the Melech, or to whatever you needed to anoint, let's say different Kelim, Chvesnish, whatever needed to be anointed, and the application was done like a Ki Yevonis. What is the key of honest? It's not relevant now, whatever, like an L, a backwards L, an upside down L, a chaf seifis, a key of honest. What? When you anoint the Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew in the world, who's going to lead Klal Yisrael in Avodas Hashem, who's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to mention Yavon. You have to mention that this man, who's going to represent Klal Yisrael as the holiest Jew, his coronation, his hachtorah, okay, his inauguration is done with the zecher of Yavon, like a ki yivonis, which means one of the third letter, whatever letter it is, the third letter in the Greek alphabet, where it looks like there are other dugmois. If we want to go and give an example of what the shape of how it should be applied. Chazal have no shortage of ways of describing the way the Kohen Gadol and the Melech should be anointed. They have to go and say like a ki yivonis. Obviously, there's something very important. Yaft Elokim liyefes v'yishkoin be'ohol Hashem. Yefes was one of Noach's sons. All of the sons serve Hashem. Shem takes the lead. Cham is a slave, is a servant. Eved avodim tielado, eved avodim, Kenan, there are servants to Klal Yisrael. And Yefes has milos. And those milos have to be incorporated by Shem in the service of Hashem. And it comes out in different ways. Yaftu l'kim l'yefes v'yishkoi b'ol l'shem. So I want to suggest that every language, even though it's not Greek, but everything secular, any accomplishment, any beauty in the secular world has value. It has value. Chochma ba'amim tamin. Well, you're not going to say what the goyim have done is the technology and the accomplishments of what they have achieved is not just beyond belief. How could you not? Even though you'll tell me that almost everything that we have in this world came from Jews, okay, it's taka true, Jews invented everything, but the goyim have something to offer. Unfortunately, they themselves have not yet seen the light. But what they have accomplished is incorporated into Avodas Hashem. There's something there. You don't just, it's a goyish. Get rid of it. In this the language, one of the biggest accomplishments of Yefes was language, the Greek language. Is their language. Now, Old French is not, as far as I know, have anything to do with Greek. I don't know. Who knows? What? I'm sorry. What?
Latin.
Only Latin is Greek, but French not. But yet there is obviously a relationship. There is. It's a dogma. There is something. There's a mussar to learn. Just as Yafta Lakim Liyefis Vyishkoin Bohole Shem, you live in a country, if they have milos, which the Gedolei Yisrael do not find to have any damaging element, Adarabba, there's an inyan to take it and use it to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Old French was obviously a very beautiful language. It was obviously had a tremendous koyach. And Rashi, who is Kodesh Kodoshim, the Rabban Shel Yisrael, would not write in his Chibur on Chumash Old French for nothing. And the fact that Parshas Miketz is where Rashi is mamish obsessed. He's mamish a dictionary. If you want to learn a dictionary, Parshas Miketz. Go open to the Chumash, Parshas Miketz. It's basically just a dictionary. Whole parasha. What's going on with Rashi? If you could take out all the old French and Parshas Miketz, you could have almost, you would just have a few psukim. There's not much left.
It's only because he was living in France.
Right, but what is he? What is? Exactly. Fine.
You have the same thing. The word Fatima and Shapiro. You have it from the cows.
But Ungulis is Aramaic. That goes back to Maisa Bereishis. Aramaic is the Malacham. That's more related to Lashon HaKodesh. Old French has nothing to do with Lashon HaKodesh. Aramaic is a cousin. It's a half-brother. It's a half-sister. It's a chelik of Lashon HaKodesh. Whatever, however you want to go define, nuance it. But French? Frank Garnish, there's no shaykhis to French and Lashon HaKodesh, yet there's a beauty in the language, obviously. And obviously, just as there's a principle, Yaftal Kim Liyafis of Yishkoin Bohel Hashem, during Chanukah, Rashi, I feel, I'm trying to suggest, has dwelt upon that theme of Yaftal Kim Liyafis and has taken an enormous amount of, has honed in on this concept and brought into his Chibur on Parashas Miketz. Old French to an extreme degree almost.
He's looking for precision, right?
He can do that every parasha. You can do this. There's no limit to what you can do. Every parasha you can go to town with this. Okay, enough said about that.
Yeah, in this pasuk it says Nahar Plaga. Okay, and we know the Nahar Yotzer Me'eden Hayada Arba Arashim.
Okay.
This is the Plaga. So why does he have to bring
Gan Eden? Rashi likes Medrash. He does this very often. For whatever reason, he does it very often. He deviates from the Pshuta Shel Mikra, and he interprets the Pesuk in reference to esoteric things that are beyond our understanding. Okay, now, by the way, in addition, I tell this to you many, many times, Rabbi Schmidman around the corner over here, in Krul Spink, he once explained to me that Old French is basically the Old French to French is the equivalent of Yiddish to German. There is no dictionary of Old French. Old French, what they call here Old French is not really correct. Old French basically means you live in it like English. So unfortunately, this is not a good example because this is just it's a bit of a galechta is what the people call Yinglish. Is that from people among themselves, they live in America, they speak English, that's the language of the country, language of the world almost today, and you speak English, and then you inject into the English, you inject yeshivisha expressions. And almost, it turns out that you have your own language. At the end of the day, after living in the country long enough, and the people are people who play with the language and they corrupt the language, they end up almost developing their own version of the English language. If you take a real American that never saw a Jew, and you take a yeshiva bachar and they have a conversation, it's possible that they don't know, they can't communicate. Because the dialect, it's not really of what the words that people have injected into the English language, it becomes almost like a new language. That's not a good example because it's almost laughable, some of what things that people have invented in America in English, but Yiddish is not laughable. Yiddish has really taken on its own rich language. It's obviously rooted, heavily rooted in German, and there are many dialects of German. And even among Yiddish, there are many dialects of German, all different types of Yiddish, and it is the product of people living in a region, part of the world, for a very long period of time, and molding and developing German in their own way. So just like Yiddish has been accepted to be its own language, it's not German, it's close, but it's not, it's a dialect of German. Likewise, Old French, what we call Old French, is really, Mr. Bloom, Beruchim Haboyim B'Shem Hashem, welcome back. Welcome back, it's very good to see you, Baruch Hashem. They don't know what I'm talking about. They don't, if you speak Yiddish to a German, they don't understand a word you're saying. So it's the same thing, what Rashi quotes, Belaz, Belashon Am Zor, He's quoting French. He's not quoting French. Because if you look up these words in a French dictionary, you're not going to find them. Very few of them. You're not going to find them. And you're not going to find it anywhere, in fact. This was a private language that was only spoken amongst religious Jews living in France. It was a dialect that they developed by accident amongst themselves. So when Rashi quotes, that Rashi is basically quoting you something that you're not going to find anywhere else. I told you this many times. I once saw they had a ride by Rashi. It was there. I don't remember what year it was, how many years, 750 years since Rashi, in a secular newspaper. And they wrote, what was the greatness of Rashi? So if you ask this to any yeshiva bachar, what would they would tell you? Beautiful things. It's the Rabban Shel Yisrael, Emunah. Rashi is you can go on for days giving hespedim about Rashi. So a Goisha cup, what do they have to say about Rashi? Rashi was very important for society because he preserved, his greatest accomplishment was he preserved Old French. That's how Goyim think. Like, oh, it's the museum, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. He preserved, really, that's what Rashi is. Most people, when they see Rashi, like, they don't even bother. They don't even bother looking what it says because this is totally not relevant, right? This is the last thing in the world. But yet it's on the page. It's on the page. And there is something to be said about this. Okay, let's go further.
Just because the language is more clear and more precise than in the Hebrew. Like English, we sometimes translate something from Hebrew to English.
But Rashi was writing, he was writing to his people. He wrote his chibur for simple people who lived in this community who did not know Hebrew all that well, and they needed a little help. So just like we have today Art Scroll, Judaica Press, Mitsudois, we have all different publishers who give us a very nice translation. So Rashi did the same thing, an elucidation in his language. But obviously we have a Muna that there's something much deeper. What exactly, deeper than just that? Obviously Rashi wouldn't waste his time for generations to go and put in the, there has to be something much deeper about this. But in any event, Rashi, we are blessed here because where in the world do we have someone like Rav Michal Miller who understands and has a desire to research the word and appreciate what Rashi is saying by quoting the old French translation. Amichol, thank you. We are indebted to you. Yerashu hehadim begavosu. This is already not polago. So again over there, that word Gan Eden, very, very interesting. Rav Kalman, I have no idea why Rashi goes off into these esoteric things. Next Rashi on page 418, the Lifnais Boiker. All the Mepharshim said the same thing, is that Boiker is Geula. Laila is Golos. The Cheshkas HaLaila, very appropriate thing to focus on in Chanukah. The Haritzayis of Sohu Vavo V'Choyshech. The Choyshech Alpnei Yisrael, Choyshech Zu Yavan. Chanukah is the era of darkness. And the Chanukah candles, they light up the darkness. Boiker is a metaphor for Geula, L'Keitz HaGeula. Pasuk Zayin Hamu Gam the Gam will roar. Lashon Hoymer Hoymer means a tumultuous agitation. They are in a state of unrest. Look at what's going on in the world today. The Goyim, there's something bothering them. Something is bothering the Goyim. They're not behaving. They're acting out. The Umay Yisraelim today, just live your life in peace. What are you all worked up about? There's something that's bothering them. Their neshamos sense the Bias HaMashiach. And you see in the world, the Goyim today are just, they're agitated. Okay, Homu Goyim, Tamug, they will melt. Timas, Kein Pasa Menachem translates what Tamug to mean to melt. Okay, V'chein Nomogu Kol Yoshvei Chinan. That's in the Shua Sayam. V'chein lo mug lev, the heart will melt. Avol dunash pasar oisam l'shoin hano'o, which means, let's see, I think means to move. It means to totter. Amichol, is that correct? Hano'o means to move. No v'nod, to stir. Okay, it means it's a similar word, similar to the word homu. It means to be stirred. to totter, to move about in a state of agitation. V'chein hehomoin nomog vayelech vahaloim. Vahaloim, okay, the word, the multitudes nomog. Nomog in this context does not mean to melt, because it is juxtaposed to the word vayelech. So here you see the word nomog does not always mean, based on its context, does not necessarily mean to melt. It means to move. It means to be pushed around. To be pushed around due to being in a state of chaos. Hehamon, the multitude, nomog, they move, vayelech, vahaloim. I don't know what that word means, vahaloim. V'chein kulam. Okay, next page. Asher som shamos bo'aretz. Okay, we did the pesuk already twice. That the pasuk says, "Luchu, go out and see Chazusi Mifalos Hashem, the wonders of Hashem." Asher Som, he has set Shamos destruction. Shemama in the world. This is Yemos HaMashiach. There's going to be very big korban. There's going to be wars. And the Rashi here says, "Asher Som, he set Shamos destruction." Asher Som. Aritzos Hagoyim Shemama. Exactly what it said in the Mitzvah Stavit we learned last week. Hashem, in time of Moshe Mashiach, is going to cause there to be chaos, and there's going to be a lot of churban. Okay, we'll come back to that pasuk soon in a moment. Pasuk Yud, Mashpis Milchomois. This we said before was the most beautiful pasuk we've learned. Is that the war Milchemes Goyim Magog will be the war to end all wars. Mashbis means to come to an end, milchamois, me'oleinu, ad kitzei aretz. Now Rashi adds there one word which makes a lot of a big difference. Maybe this is machlokes Rashi and the Radak. Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say what the Radak says. Rashi does not say that this war will be a war to end all wars. No, there will be other wars, but just don't bother us. Don't bother us. Mashpis milchomois me'oleinu. There will no longer be any wars against us, from us, bothering us. But the world at large, you want to fight? Go fight. One nation wants to go kill another nation? Iran and Iraq? Good luck to Iran and good luck to Iraq. May you both win. The Nuran, that's exactly what Reagan did. Reagan supplied Iran with weapons, and he supplied Iraq with weapons. And he said to them, good luck to both of you. Okay, it's true, it's a fact. He supplied the United States. We did, we gave, your tax money went to help them both, to keep them busy. In hindsight, we know is the fact that the United States supplied both of them with weapons and advice. They should kill each other. Okay, when they're busy killing each other, they don't have time to kill us. That's what Reagan did. Reagan did that. He supplied both countries with weapons and told them both, good luck to both of you. Scandal is, he supplied this. Well, I'm not telling you, not top politics now. But Mashpis Melchamois, so there are wars that go on in the world that have nothing to do with us. The Radak says that Milchemes Goyim Umagoyim, the Radak looks at this as in the much bigger picture. It is a war that will end all wars, period. Rashi does not say that. Rashi says that this Milchemes Goyim Umagoyim will bring an end of the Umayis Olam going to war me'oleinu, only from us. Now that's interesting, because we have a principle that everything that happens in the world is only because of Klal Yisrael. There's no such thing as separating any nation of the world, what they're doing, from Klal Yisrael. The emunah we have is every single thing that happens in this world. There's some country at the other end of the world you never heard about, and you can't pronounce, you can't pronounce its name. That country's existence and activity is only because of Klal Yisrael. And whatever they do, it's only because of Klal Yisrael. So how could there be such a thing where two nations are at war and they have nothing to do with Klal Yisrael? Can't possibly be. Okay, that has to be taken into consideration. Over here, Rashi says this word is not to be ignored. Mashpis milchamos me'oleinu ad kitzei aretz shekol aretzos hagoyim yu imanu b'shalom. All of the nations of the world will be with us at peace. It does not necessarily mean they'll be at each other with peace, but they will have no complaint against Klal Yisrael. Keshes Hagoyim Yeshaber, and the bow, the weapons of the nations will be shattered. Agolos yisroif bo'esh, their wagons, their tanks, the military vehicles will be burnt in fire. Richvei milchama shalumos, the chariots of war of the nations. Pasuk Gidalef harpu. Then the pasuk gives us advice, a warning. Harpu means to loosen. Atzmichem kol hagoyim milavo od al Yerushalayim. Okay, this is a subject to a lot of interpretation. What exactly does it mean? What is the subject of this pasuk? Who is the pasuk addressing? Is it addressing the nations of the world, or is it addressing Klal Yisrael? According to Rashi, the subject is the goyim, and the goyim, the pasuk means to let go, stop.
You know, in law, there's something called a cease and desist order.
Cease and desist order. That's exactly what this harpu means. Let go. Cease and desist. Do not bother the Jewish people. Harpu, let go. Atzmachem kol agoyim milavoy od al Yerushalayim, from coming anymore to Yerushalayim. Pasuk udu'u ki anochi Elokim she'eseh bochem din. This is very interesting. Elokim is din. That the day of reckoning is coming for the Umay Sa'olam. Orum ba'goyim Hashem says, I will be exalted es roimim. It says here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact vengeance to the Umay Yisraelim for what they have done to Klal Yisrael in Golos, and when that happens, the survivors will be afraid. They will praise and they will look up to Hashem in awe. Or Esroimim Binikmosia, I will be exalted in my vengeance. In the recognition that there is a din v'cheshbain, no one gets a free pass. Asher ese bagoyim. All right, so that concludes Rashi. Now, if you want to
interesting thing that for human vengeance is not considered justice for Hashem.
Interesting. So that's very interesting thing is how does Hashem operate? Maybe Hashem operates through the courts. Hashem influences good people to take control of justice in this world, and there are trials, the Nuremberg trials, and there are after World War II, there was an attempt to some degree to hold the criminals responsible. Okay, obviously it's a mashu, it's a tipa shebiyam of what these people deserve, but it's a dogma that maybe there is such a thing in this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will influence good people to create a system of justice and hold accountable.
Is it Mida Kenegd Mida a form of revenge?
Yes, it is. Yes. It's to get what they deserve. Let me explain this. Let me say an idea. It says in the pasuk, Yaakov Avinu says, that says in Rashi, Kotointi mikol hachasodim umikol ho'emes asher asi so es avdecha. Parashas Vayetze. Okay, this I think is a very important vart. You tell me what you think of this vart is emes or not. Okay, Ramachol, you'll tell me if you think this vart is true or not. Kotointi Yaakov Avinu, when he was fleeing Esav, he was going to Choron to get married, and he was on the run from Esav and Eliphaz, and he lies down, he has a dream, he sees the Malachi Elokim, Olam V'yarnim Bo, he wakes up in the morning and he says, wow, Manoira Hamokim Azeh. And then he takes a neder, and he says Ribbono Shel Olam Kotointi Mikol HaChasadim. Wait, I'm making a mistake. I'm fine. Next parsha. Okay, no problem. Switch gears. Parsha Asvayish. Same thing. Parsha Asvayishlach. He's coming over here to meet Esav. He's terrified. Esav will slaughter him and his family, and he begs Hashem, please help me. And then he says something very interesting. Oh, why should I be afraid? I have merit. I have good merit. I'm a tzaddik. Yaakov Avinu was an honest man. He was a good person. He did everything he's supposed to do. He followed the rules. So what I have a zuchus, zuchuyos. So he says, I've already used up my merits. Kotointi, my merits have been depleted. Mikol hachasodim, kotointi, mikol hachasodim, umikol ha'emes. Two things. Hashem, you've done with me chesed. And number two, you've done with me emes. And therefore, my merits are depleted. Now, let's stop right there. I understand. Chesed means to get a gift that you don't deserve. A handout. I don't deserve this. Someone goes and gives you, here, I like you, I want to go give you a gift. I'm not going to give you a gift every day. You've already used up your good luck. You've already used. You need a favor. You call up someone. I need a favor. Do me a favor. I need you to go and help me get a job. Okay, you know what? I don't really want to do this. I don't have time for this. I don't want to. But you know what? I owe it to you, so I'll do you chesed. But I can't come back to him the next day and ask for another chesed. There's only that much goodwill a person. So I've already used up my merits that I survived this far. But what's the next statement? Umikol ha-emes. What is MS is, you know, there's corruption in this world, and I'm right. I MS means it's true. If I work hard, I deserve to get paid. Why does MS deplete your merits? If I work 9 to 5 and I'm supposed to get paid $200, I work 9 to 5 and I get my $200. That's going to deplete my merits? That's MS. The job is you work 9 to 5, you get paid $200. I work 9 to 5, I got paid $200. This doesn't take away any zuchus. Why does Yaakov say, kotointi, my merits have been depleted because you, Hashem, have done with me MS?
What?
Oh, so what is it saying? That the default of this world is, you work 9 to 5 and you only get $150. That's the default. This is an alma de shikra. At Maase Bereishis, Hashem created the world, there was a debate, there was a meeting taking place in Shemayim, should we create the world? And all of the Midas presented arguments, and the Midah of MS said, no, man is a shakran. Do not create the world. So Hashem says, MS, get out of here. MS, Hashem drove MS out of town. In other words, the world was created as an alma de shikra. Don't expect to get what you deserve in this world. The DNA of this world is you're not going to get what's meant to be. So if you see yourself getting what you're supposed to get, I worked like a dog a whole day from 9 to 5, and I got exactly what I'm supposed to get, $200 as per hour agreement. You know something? Your merits have been depleted. Because that's not supposed to happen.
You're supposed to say thank you also.
That's not supposed to happen. The default of this world is an alma de shikra. And if you find yourself getting $200 for working 9 to 5, wow. That's something very special. That's not the way it was meant to be. Your merits have been depleted because you were zoiche to the midah of emes. This world is an alma de shikra. Hashem is MS. Hashem, the choysam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Aleph Mem Tov. In order for you to have merited to walk away with a paycheck that is what you deserve, or is a mid of MS. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene and make sure someone didn't take advantage of you. So you know what that means? Your merits have been depleted. We think that there are entitlements in life and there are gifts. So when you get a gift, I'm humbled. I don't deserve this. I have to say thank you. I have to bring you mishloach monos. I have to go give you a gift and write nice letters and be polite because I don't deserve this. But when I work hard and I get what I deserve, then I can say to you, get lost. I don't have to be nice to you. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be nice to Hashem. I don't have to be nice to anyone because I worked hard. I got what I deserve. If that was true, Yaakov Avinu cannot possibly say, kotointi mikol ha-chasodim mikol ho-emes. Because why kotointi mikol ho-emes? Why? The Teretz is, in this world, you know what the default is? You don't. There is no MS. It's an alma de shikra. If you don't believe me, go out and look at the world. Go read the news. You'll see that this world is pure, pure sheker. And if you find the person getting what they deserved, getting MS, It means Hashem has intervened and has made sure that you got what you deserve. And you know what that means? You've used up your credits of goodwill. And now attack or kotointi. Kotointi. It's not a simple thing. So Mr. Mirlis, that was your question. You touched upon that. MS is not a guarantee in this world. You need a special zechus.
So Hashem created the world so it should be like that?
Yeah. Yes, the answer is yes. Pukhazi mamadva. Go out and see what goes on in the world. I know what I'm saying may be controversial, but I'm throwing this out and I'm trying to bring a proof to this from the pasuk. Kotointi mikol hachas sodim mikolo emes. What do you want to say it means? Are you going to say these very, very elaborate drushim of what it means, emes? Pashup shot. Pshuta shel nikra. You know, over here, the Olam doesn't understand the jokes that I'm making over here. You're not into the politics.
That's the real shot. That's all I was saying, maybe, with Tifen Emes
Liyakov. Hashem gave, he was...
Give him the Emes, because maybe, you know, he's not going to get what he deserves.
Mr. Mills, you feel that you got what you deserve? Your hard work? There's no one in this world. No one in this world will say... No one in this world will say, MS is a gift. If a person gets, we're not talking about bonuses. We're talking about entitlements. That's a real, not American entitlements. American entitlements are all gifts. We're talking about real entitlements, whatever that means. Okay, go, let's now. Okay, this concludes the Rashi's.
Life is unclear. I was born good looking and you weren't.
Okay, now let's finish up. I want to mention a couple of things before we conclude this mizmar. Number one, okay, our buddy Sayas, let's just spend a little time and discuss some things. First of all, the medrash on the bottom, on the bottom of the page 421. Okay, we're going a little bit off. We're taking the psukim now. We're just going to take them out of context. And this pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. It's a very famous pasuk. Luchu go out chazu mifalois Hashem asher some. Okay, Asher, how come over here, they put over here a shin on the bottom of the page, look at the shas, for some reason, Asher, instead of a sin, I don't know why, it's a shin, Asher Shom, that's not correct, it appears, Asher Som Shamois Boretz, the Gemara makes a drasha, the word Shamois, we already said twice, means Shemama, Chorban, but this is a very famous pasuk, we darish in the word shame, Shemois. Every person has a name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives b'chulam b'shemos yikro. Every person has a name. A name is an extremely important thing. When a person is born, you give him a name at the bris. He gives a big thing. Kriyas Hashem is an incredible thing. Incredible kibbutz to give a person. People don't appreciate it. What a cover that is. But Kriyas Hashem, the one that calls the baby's name, you know, you're giving them. You're giving the mamish this pasuk that luchu chazu mifalois Hashem, the wonders of Hashem, asher som, Hashem sets the shemois, names. Everything has an identity. You have an identity. The identity is the name. Chazal says, "Minolon, how do you know the shmo shel odom goreim es a ruei chayov?" The editor asks, "How do you know that the name carries influence?" Okay, the name a person gets is going to bring him to his destiny. It's going to have an effect upon him. How do you know that? Omer Abelozah, the Omer Akro, Luchu, Chazu, Mifalis, Hashem, Asher, Som. I don't know why they keep on having the shin. It should be a sin. Asher, Som, Shamois, Baretz, Al Tikre, Shamois, Elo, Shemois. A name. It's all in a name. This medrash, take this medrash very literally. It almost sounds like... You can, whatever name you give a child is what's going to happen to the child. If you give a child a name, you call him McDonald, he's going to end up working in McDonald's. If you give him a name, Deer, he'll end up being a deer hunter. I'm just joking with you, but obviously what it sounds like, this is not the way we look at it. This is not the way we look at it. The way it says in this chazal is, you are in the driver's seat. Hashem gave you a gift. Hashem gave you a child. What do you want him to be? Decide. You decide. Do you want your child to be a Talmud Chacham? Do you want him to be a computer engineer? Do you want him to be a doctor? Do you want him to be a lawyer? You want him to be a doctor? Call him Raphael. You want him to be I'm not too creative here. Whatever you want him to be, what do you, the father, you decide. It's your decision what you want to make out of your child. And let's get off to a good start before you send him to school, before you do anything. First, give him a name that captures what you want him to be. It's up to you. No Ruach HaKodesh here. I'm going to get to that in a second. I know. We'll come to that. We see we're so brainwashed, we can't even look at the pasuk with a fresh perspective. Forget about what we're all brainwashed. Let's discuss. What are we all brainwashed with? We're all brainwashed that we're helpless people. We're all a bunch of nebuchs, and everything has already been decided. Our destiny already has been decided, and Hashem is going to give the parents Ruach HaKodesh, what to name the baby, because the baby, this person, is going to, it's already been decided, it's bashert what's going to happen to him, and it's as if already he lived 120 years, and now by the bris, it's like a hesped. We're giving him a hesped. He already lived 120 years, his destiny already has already been fulfilled, and now we're giving him a name that defined what he accomplished his entire life. So we have absolutely no part in getting this person where he needs any decision in his destiny. We're nebuchs, we're just helpless people, and it's bashert, it's min hashamayim. What?
Go different ways also.
Okay, but let's
be a doctor,
right, I know, I understand that, we understand that, but unfortunately the average person has this very negative attitude. You read all these svarim, these inspirational books, they all tell you these stories that they were about to name the baby this and something changed. And they named the baby this. It was Basher. This is Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh. I know someone told me that his wife told me that she does not, they're having a baby, they had a baby, she does not trust her husband. Because the last two children, Shabbos morning, he walked out of the door to name the baby. Oh no, by the bris also, well, the girl and the boy. By the bris, they woke up in the morning and they decided this is the name. And at the bris, she hears a different name. Try that at home, right? They had a daughter, they were in the hospital. She was in the hospital. She went to shul, and before he went, they made up. This is the name. He comes home and he says, "You know, the last minute I changed the name." What? What in the world? Without asking me, the mother who just went through labor, are you out of your mind?
He told his wife that instead of saying, "I don't know, the guy made a mistake."
Could you imagine? She told this to me. I don't trust him. He'll make up what the name is, and he'll go to shul.
Together.
They have a very good marriage, as far as I know. but some people, why? And he'll tell, and I spoke to him. He says to me, I'm telling you, it wasn't under my control. It was like, Mama Shurach HaKodesh, and this, and this, and this, this. It just happened by itself. And a name is Mamash Shurach HaKodesh. I saw my own eyes. It was like Mamash Shurach HaKodesh Hashem. It was destiny. Destiny. Okay, this is what you're going to hear 99.99% of the time, that the name a person gives his child, I think they say from the Gedolei Yisrael, every person is given Mamash Ruach HaKodesh, what to name your child. Mosu Kidvash, 100%. But if you look at this Chazal with fresh eyes and you forget everything that you've told you, it's not what it says. It is Pumfakert. Don't be such a Nebuch in life. Don't think in life that everything already has been decided and you're just a bystander and no, what could you do about everything? That's a terrible attitude. You take control. Hashem put you in this world to make a difference and to make decisions and to make changes and to have influence. You decide. What do you want your child to be? If you want him to be a doctor, what's so terrible? What's so terrible? Adrab, the Rambam was a doctor, I think the Ramban was a doctor. Many of the Gedolei Yisrael were doctors. It's a wonderful profession, like an honest living. Do chesed the entire day. What's so terrible? What's so terrible? Adrab of the Adrab. So you know what you should name your baby? Name him Raphael. to get him off to a good start. You want him to be a sailor? You want him to go and build ships? Who knows? So call him Zevulun. Zevulun l'chayf yamim yishkoin. You take control. You take control and you decide what you want him to be. Don't be a Nebuch and make believe now at his bris, it's already 120 years later, and now you're giving a hesped, and the hesped's going to come from Hashem, and it's through your mouth to name him what he accomplished in life. That's a horrible attitude. Defeatist attitude. You do something. Take the lead. That's what it really says here in this chazal. Minolon d'shmo goreim. The name you give is going to have an effect on what kind of life this person will lead, not the way we're brainwashed.
It's going to be government, but it's not necessarily the way you think it's going to be.
Okay, that's, listen, we all know at the end of the day, we're very limited. Okay, but don't have if you look at Chazal, fresh. Okay, listen, we all know there's only that much you can do. We all know that there's only that much you can do. You know, most things, it is what it is. But to whatever influence you have, you're starting off now fresh, you have power. The first thing is, I'm going to decide what his name is because I want that name to have an effect on him to achieve the mission that I feel I'm entitled. I'm his father. I brought him into this world. I'm going to support him. I'm committed to take care of him and raise him. And I feel, based upon my understanding of whatever I'm entitled to understand, that this is going to be the best thing for him. So you start by giving him a name.
That's why they have more, but because of reasons.
What?
They gave the name.
The Ovois is exactly what they did. They took control.
Why did Shimon Levi have this, anger with them? Because their name. Daddy, how did I get my name? Well, I named you Shimon because mommy says I named you Shimon because daddy ain't named me. With that.
Yisachar. Okay, Yisachar. I hired your husband. Okay, it's you don't pronounce one of the sins in Yisachar because it's not delicate. You don't allude. It's an interesting thing. You call a person. It's a very powerful limud hamusar. We live in a world today. It's shocking. Wow, the language, the things that people speak today. They never years ago would never talk about. They never say these things. These are very delicate matters called kavuda basmelach panima. So even though his name really is Yisachar with two sins, one because Hashem has rewarded me, and one because I paid for this. I paid so that I can have marital relations with my husband. It was not my night. It was the night of Rachel. And in order that I can have marital relations, I paid money. That's not a stavart sunua, that every time the child's name is mentioned, people should think about that. That your mother paid her sister cash in order that she could have marital relations so you can be born. That's not a way to talk. That's not something you talk about. So therefore, for doyreis, when you kriya satoira, the sin is not pronounced. Ad kedei kach. If you make a little teeny mistake when you kriya satoira, they'll shoot you. Okay, you go to... Yeah. You don't pronounce it Yisachar. I mean, it depends too, but Ashkenazim...
Some people have admitted
the first time.
Where it says, the only sefer that says that you say Yisachar the first time, guess which sefer? The B'nai Yisachar.
that you do say it.
The only place that he says the first time you're laying, you should say two. You should pronounce.
Yisachar.
The only place that says it.
In most of the places that I'm an Ashkenaz, I can't tell you, but most places where I go, they always say, even the Parashas Vayetze, Yisachar. Because it's not derech eret. Why did she call it? So there are two reasons why he is called Yisachar. Number one, it's a reward for giving my shifcha, giving Zilpa to Yaakov Avinu to have more children. In reward, I stopped having children, and I wanted that there should be more children. So I did a chesed. I gave Yaakov Avinu my shifcha Zilpa as a wife, so that there should be greater. and in reward for doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me another child. And therefore, I'm calling him Sochor, reward. Hashem has rewarded me for my good deed. Number two, it was not my night to have marital relations with my husband. The night was the night of Rachel. However, Reuven came home with Dudoim, came home with fertility pills. And I wanted the fertility pills. I asked her, please give me the fertility pills. And my sister got very angry at me. So I said, you know what? All the way around. I'm all confused over here. All the way around, whatever. My sister got angry at me, whatever the story was. And therefore, I said, you know what? Give me the Rachel said, give me the I sold her. I gave my sister Rachel the fertility pills. That's in essence what it was. In exchange for instructing Yaakov not to go to your tent, but he should come to my tent. So I paid. I gave up something of value in exchange for getting my husband to come and live with me. That's not something you want to write on the front cover of the New York Times. And if you're going to call, and therefore that's why that's another sochar, payment. So in order, therefore you call them yisoschar, a double sin, to elude one, there's a double reward, sochar, sochar. There's a reward for a good deed. Number two, sochar sechartika, and therefore is a double sin, yisoschar. We omit the second sin in order not to be reminded of the second reason, because it's not tsnius. Because he paid, she paid for marital relations. Reward for a good deed. Because I gave my shivcha zilpa. So we only call them, we only omit the second sin.
By the way, a lot of that B'nai Yisosa, the children, a lot of chassidim, they when they name their children Yisachar, they only spell it with one sin. The name is given and written with one sin.
Even today, that's how we also write it.
They leave out the second sin.
I think the common spelling today is only with one sin. You don't spell it today with two sins. Yisochar. We omit the second sin. Fine. So, okay, a name carries enormous amount of weight. And if you look at this medrash at face value, it is meant to be, it's not meant the way we've been trained, that a name, oh, it's predestined, it's about your neshama already has a blueprint. No, and this is your destiny. Okay, I've 100%. But if you look at the Medrash, there's a reminder. You have control also. Don't think that you're in the dark. You also have the ability to make a difference in this world. You decide the name, and the name that you decide will affect that neshama in a given way. Okay, we all know, you name after a person. Obviously, over the generations, niskatnu hadoros, yuridis hadoros. We're not innovators today to go and make up new names. Generally, we name after people, and according to Chazal, there's an effect. The person to whom the person is named after, that neshama, you carry the name of an ancestor, the neshama of the ancestor has an effect on the growth, the development of the person. They say also, it's a very interesting thing, they say also that the sandik, should be very careful who you give sandikos to. And as people actually, it's very spooky, they actually say this, is that you look back at people later in life, who was their sandik? And it's interesting, there is some people will find a relationship between the person's development to the person who was the sandik at the bris. It's very important to give the sandik to a holy person.
Where is this quoted?
I don't know. In the bris milah books, in the likutim on bris milah, they will mention this. It's interesting. When it's about sandik, there's a difference between Chaim Berlin. He's not here. Chaim Berlin and the rest of the world. I didn't appreciate this. I grew up in Chaim Berlin. In Chaim Berlin, the very, very makbid, you only give the sandukois to the Rosh Shiva. It's a very big hakpada, kavod haTorah. And I thought the whole world was like this, but it's definitely not like this. In the world at large, the first person that has kedima for sandukois are the grandparents. And it's a very big thing. You give the grandparents. And let's say, once I was Shiloh dealing with someone, let's say, have grandparents that are not so, they're not known to be, from the Gedolei Yisrael. And the person is very close with a very big Talmud Chacham. And he's not a Chaim Berliner. Okay, he's part of the general society of this world. To whom should he give Sandukois to? Should he give it to his Rosh Hashiva, who he's very close with? Or should he give it to his grandfather?
Rav Gusman, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Nesan Israel, my Rebbe, Rabbi, went to that yeshiva. He was very machmed. He refused to take Sandukois unless the grandparents first.
Exactly. So the end was this person, the end was he gave it to the grandfather. He gave it to the grandfather because that's the correct thing to do. The kedima to Sandukois really goes, the minig of the world, it appears to be, you give Sandukois to a grandfather, even if the grandfather is not on the league of, you have to be close. Not everyone is close to Rosh Hashiva. Okay, how many people today do you know are really very, very close to Rosh Hashiva? Very, very few, or rough, very, very few. But let's say you have a situation where a person that's very close to a very big Talmud Chacham, a very holy person, and he has parents, and the parents are very good. Yirei Mushleimim. Who goes first? The grandparents go first. The grandparents go. They have kedima. Now, let's say the father, let's say whatever the case, the person is not 100% observant. Is not 100%. It doesn't matter. As long as he can get by as a Shomer Shabbos, that was the Pesach Halacha. If the grandfather, even though the child knows that the father is very weak in Halacha, this was the Shaila, he's very close to a very, very, very chashuv person. But he has a father-in-law. And the father-in-law, he's weak. His observance is weak. But in the Welt, he's considered to be a Shomer Shabbos. The son-in-law knows. He knows more than he should know. But in the Welt, the Pesach Halacha was, you give it to your father-in-law. Your father-in-law is Shomer Shabbos, the end. He gets kedima before you give it to a Rosh Hashiva. I'm assuming it's because it represents the Shalsheles Hadoros. And there is a very important inyan of Yuldu al Birke Yosef. There's an inyan of Doiris. Chaim Berlin was an exception. I don't know why. Rav Hudner, I'm assuming it was due to the times. He saw a world that really needed a lot of chizuk. We don't appreciate this. Because he won so big. He was like Trump. He won to such a degree that Baruch Hashem today there is a lot of Kavod HaTorah. Baruch Hashem. He definitely won in that respect. I don't know if it's only because of him, but Klal Yisrael definitely has come, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, to appreciate this principle of Kavod HaTorah. But there's no question, 70 years ago, it wasn't like that in America. It was a different type of world. And I'm assuming that he went to an extreme, unless he had a Messiah from the Alt of Slobodka, that the world needed a little shake up. And he created this concept. And then I was talking to my brother, and my brother says to me, you're a Chaim Berliner. The only place in the world where they give Sandukois only to the Rosh Hashiva is only in Chaim Berlin. The whole world is not like that. It's not the Minhag HaOlam.
Problem for the Chaim Berliner.
No, it doesn't. Listen, you cannot generalize. When it comes to these inyanim, literally every single situation is different. Every situation. Who says you have to daven in the yeshiva? You can have your bris in a private shul, in a private hall. In this one, they're not even available half the time. They went. They have another obligation that day. You can't generalize. How many children did the person have already? Who did he give to the first time, the second time? The person living, not living? You cannot generalize. You cannot. So, because that's a whole discussion. This is not for now. The whole topic, the big, big topic of discussion. What this is about? There's really no makar for that. From the Ketores, it's such a week. There's no makar from the Ketores. They only gave the Kohen once. A Kohen only offered the Ketores once, and Bris Milah the Ketores. Show me the makar for that. We once had a whole shiur on this. We spent a whole hour on this. It's a very interesting topic. Not for now. Anyway, I want to finish up over here. One more thing over here, and that is, if you look over here, there is a massive mincha shai. Massive beyond belief mincha shai. What is this massive mincha shai all about? It's about the word, pasuk tes, l'chu chazu garen si mif alois. What does it say in our girsa? Yudke vavke. The massive mincha shai is all about, is this correct? In his he goes through such a pilpul that it should really be pasuk tes, page 418. If you see, half the page is minchas shai, and then the next page, half the page is minchas shai. What is the subject of this minchas shai? Is the girsa luchu mifalos mifalos yudke vavke, or is it luchu chazu mifalos elokim? Because later. It says, let's start the first words, pasuk tes, okay, look, just a little bit. L'chu chazu ke begaya b'ktsas, that's not the point, b'chilufim kisasya l'ven osher. Next, the end of the line, l'chu chazu mifalois, look what he says, Elokim. He changes the girsa. He says, art scroll got it wrong. They got it wrong. What are they printing over here? Yudke Vavke. This is incorrect. Tehillim. You have to go to the Kaisel Hamaravi. Kaisel Hamaravi they have there in Wilson, on Wilson's Gate. You come into Wilson's Gate, make a left. There's a Tehillim with klaf in a glass case. Turn to Mizmor Memvav and see if it says there L'chu Chazu Mifalois Hashem, or does it say in that Tehillim on klaf L'chu Chazu Mifalois Elokim? Had I known, I would have turned to see what it says there. So there are a lot of things like that. So what is this Elokim? Ze echad min hamikrois hakoshin etzli b'mikwa. This is one of the psukim that are difficult to me. Really? Only one? The mincha shai can say this about every pasuk. This is one of the psukim? Hakoshin etzli b'mikwa. Im kosev kan Elokim. O shem havaya. Havaya means Yudke Vavke. Kishne kisuvim heim b'sefer tilim. Echad b'zeh. Hamizmar v'echad b'mizmar samach vav. And there it says Elokim and less mandapolik. Also, shemizmar samach vav kosel l'chuchel. Now there it says not, does not say chazu. It says ure'u. What's the chilik between chazu ure'u? They both mean the same thing, right? See. It's a different type of sing. Chanukah. How come it doesn't say Ella Chazoisam? Ella Chazoisam Bilvat. What's the difference between the word Re'u and Chazu? Re'u L'char means a physical, to see something physically. Chazu means conceptually. Conceptually. Here it says L'chu Chazu. I'm telling you already, Drush. I'm telling you, he doesn't say this. I'm telling you, Drush, to answer the question. The reason why it says here, Yud Kei Vavke, and there it says Elokim, because there it says Re'u. You want to go see Midas Hadin? Oh, that's very easy. Take out your smartphone and read the headlines. Chorban, 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 Chorban. Only bad news. Only bad news. Everything in this world, you want to go look out in the world, what's going on in the world? Go out with your eyes and look at the world, and you'll see a lot of Chorban, a lot of Tzaris, Rachman Litzlan. Rachman Litzlan, Hashem Rachim Aleinu. But if you chazu means the sight of the mind, the depth of understanding. A person occasionally is able to see even in what appears physically to be not such good things, to see the Rachamei Hashem. You walk into a shul, you hear a baby crying. Oh, the baby is crying. And then you understand, you hear, they say, Amen, Amen, oh, it's a bris milah. The baby is not just stam crying because it's in pain. The baby is crying because the baby is entering into the bris avos. Oh, it's not bad. The cry is yudke vavke, is a yudke vavke. So when it's chazu, when you see something in the mind, then you're able to see rachamim, yudke vavke. When you see something physical, I look at the world, you look what's going on in the world, oy gewalt, Elokim. Elokim is Midas Hadin. Okay, he doesn't say that. But that's the one I want to tell you, this Midrash Hashayah, because of this drush, of why Taka there is a difference. Why here it says Yudke Vavke, Chazu, because here it says Chazu. Later in Samach Vav it says Re'u. Oh, Re'u. Yeah. Elokim. There's a lot of Midas Hadin in this world, a lot of difficult things in this world. But he goes through such a pilpul over here. And he says, this is one of the Nikoros HaKosh Nesli B'mikrim Kosov Kan Elokim Oshem Havaya. Ki Shnei Kisuv M'chem B'sevet Tilim Echa B'zeh HaMizmar V'yachah B'zmah Samovav. Oy Sosh V'mizmah Samovav Kosov L'chu R'u M'faloes Elokim. V'ein Boi Machlokes. There is no one that disagrees. V'chein Rebbe Bereshah Sarabah B'parashah B'parashah Mem Dal V'avol Zeh B'sim Mem Vav Roya Ani Boi Machlokes Godol. A major war is going on in this world. What is the correct Girsa? Bein hasafadim mimei oilam, from books that have been written from time immemorial. Umishanim kadmoni yois. Ki besifrei hadefush etzleinu, v'gam b'miksas sefadim kosov kusuv yad, midu yokim kosov mifalos Hashem b'shem shel Havaya. I have a lot of manuscripts going back in the museums that all say what it says in the art scroll edition Yud K Vav K. V'chein Targum haMetargim, and look at the Targum. The Targum, it's not a right from the Targum. V'chein haMetargim v'chein b'chu b'meirnis of Shorish Paul. And then he goes on. Let's turn to the next page. Okay, and I'm going to write V'anochi. Let's look at the first paragraph, the second paragraph, the second paragraph on the page, on page 420, where it says V'anochi. The Anochi lo yodati b'nistoros mimeni, goes on, all different complicated things. Rak b'niglois l'neged inay mipi svar mipi soifer m'sheva nuschois. At the end there he says, I have in front of me seven manuscripts, or seven versions, that after everything is said and done, I hold to be the ikor. After everything is said and done, he goes to this whole pilpul over here. When everything is said and done, I have here in my hand seven things that he was the expert, you know, you can't argue with him. And this is the, it comes down to this. And what do they all say? They all say Elokim. He holds at the end of the day, this is wrong. Okay, Elokim. Kisuviyad mikama mea shon misforad vi ashkenaz. And what does it say? It says v'chosov mifalos Elokim. Elokim. He goes on. Now jump down to the end of the paragraph. Okay, jump down to the end of this paragraph. This is very cute. This is very, very cute what he does. Soif davar hakol nishma es ho'elokim yira. Elokim yira. He plays with that. Soif davar. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom line of all my research? You get a PhD just for this. Soif Dovar, Hakol Nishmaki Elokim, Kosov Khan. You like how he plays with this? He plays with this. It's brilliant. Soif Dovar is the Pasuk. Soif Dovar, Hakol Nishma Es Elokim Yira, Vyes Mishrotov Tishmar. So I say the same thing. Soif Dovar, Hakol Nishma Es Elokim. The correct Girsa should be Elokim, not Hashem. Soif Dovar, Hakol Nishma Ki Elokim, Kosov Bezeh HaMizmar. Okay, but over here, this is the Hillim. I mean, this is a different pasuk. And he says, Elokam bezeh ha-mizmar. Umagam ki pshat shtei ha-mizmar mochiach shekulam miyusodim al-shem Elokim. He says, that's it. Now jump down to the very, very last paragraph to wind down. And he says, V'yaf al-pi, he says, she'ene kidai. All of a sudden, we have some humility here. V'yaf al-pi, yeah, I tell you my dea. Who am I? Me anoichi. Okay, listen, let's not play around with Mincha Shai. It's Kodesh Kodashim.
He took it from Hinnani.
V'yaf al chedai lahachnis atzmi b'machloikis haboim b'kisvi ha-kodesh. Who am I? To be machria, to tell you what to do. Who am I? V'kol shekein, certainly you're doing Hashem's name. One thing you want to get involved, you know, you read this to go. It's Hashem's name. You're dealing over here. B'dvarim ha'im din beruma shaloyim Hashem's name. What are you going to say? B'shem es hakidoshim lo yocholti. I was unable to hold back from writing this whole long composition. L'sarev, to refuse l'gidoyim, the great people. Asher chilupon I lichtev lochem mashem atzasi al zeh. People asked me. People sought my opinion. There are great people who called me up and they said, Rabbi Mincha Shai, please tell us what is the correct girsa. Listen, who am I to go be machnia? Shem Hashem, Gedol Yisrael. Listen, people want my opinion. I can't tell them. I can't hold back from telling them my opinion. Al zeh, v'heim yivcharu atay b'neihem. I presented the facts. Let them choose what they want. V'im shogisi, yovinu li. If I made a mistake, you explain it better. You try better. You explain it to me. If I told you I went through the whole sugya, I concluded it's Elokim. Art scroll is wrong. It's Elokim. And if you know better, then good for you. You explain to me how, why, prove it to me. Yovinu li. V'Hashem atoiv, and may Hashem, he plays with Hashem's name, Hashem, you know, Yudke Vovke. Hashem hatoiv yichaper ba'ad. May Hashem forgive us for making any mistakes. V'Yatzilenu mishgiois ad yovoi moiret tzedek. Until Mashiach will come, Tzedek v'yoreinu es asher nedaber, he will teach us what is correct. Okay, it's beautiful. So he basically says that everything said and done in Beferish. He says, Elokim, I told you a drush. He actually says, look at the line before. If you look at the line before this last paragraph, it says, V'choshu shetor ha-soiv ben chazu u'bein re'u. There's some type of misunderstanding. They got corrupt. They made a mistake. They got caught up with themselves. The printer, he was probably putting in the letters by mistake, and he just got confused, and he forgot this is chazu, and there it's ru'u. So I took that as a trigger to say this drush, is that the bottom line is, half of Klal Yisrael and all the svarim they have, Yudke Vavke. That's the bottom line. The Aleppo, excellent. I don't know. What attack does it say in the Aleppo Codex? You're right. Very good. Mark, you're really good. What does it say in the Aleppo Codex? I don't know. I'm sure it's available. You're right. What does it say in the Aleppo Codex? You gotta go find that. What does it say? The Aleppo Codex is available. Dr. Lyme, no, it's available online. You can probably go find the Aleppo Codex available online. They even sell printed books in the store. I just didn't think about it. The Aleppo Codex is the authority. It's the oldest Mesorah. The truth is not necessarily, because this is the old Machlokes Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Bnei Brak, and Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, they argue that it's a very famous old Machlokes between Rav Yashiv and Rav Chaim, what they call the Machlokes between Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, if we should embrace the Aleppo Codex and make changes in our Nevim and Ksuv based upon it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Bnei Barak, they hold yes. We should fully embrace whatever it says in the Aleppo Codex. And Rabbi Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, disagrees. He says the Aleppo Codex is wonderful, it's Kodesh Kodashim, but the Mesorah is the Mesorah. If our Nevim are written one way, don't be so quick to go and change to what it says in the Aleppo Codex. Rav Chaim disagreed. Rav Chaim held, no, we don't have a Mesorah on Nevim and Ksuvim. It's very, very shvach. It's very, very shvach, the Mesorah. And if you have something where it says in the Aleppo Codex, that should be accepted, and the changes should be made according to the Aleppo Codex. And the Sofim are divided. It appears that Yerushalayim won the day, is that most people are still writing new Nevi'im based upon our tradition. And they're not so quick. I don't know, not necessarily Chaim Berlin, they have a new set of Nevi'im like the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex version. Brand new set of course, probably, who knows how much, $75,000? Aleppo Codex edition. And other play where I daven on Shabbos, they have a new set, Yerushalayim version. The version of Yerushalayim, which is not the Aleppo, brand new, hot off the brand new, mamish, very expensive. So it's the Machlokes. Okay? Very fascinating over here, this Mincha Shai. We're going to take a short break, a little more Chanukah when we come back.